Empower Radio presents Art as Worship with Vanessa Lowry.
Welcome to Art as Worship. Each week we feature stories of artists and explore their process of creation. I'm your host, Vanessa Lowry, and I am thankful that you are joining me. On this show, I talk with artists of various faiths, working on a wide range of mediums, on the common theme of how they use inspiration and creativity as an expression of their spirituality. Learn how their art is an expression of their own connection to however they name God, Jehovah, Allah, Source, the universe, the great mystery, or something else. My hope is that these stories will inspire your creative efforts and your own spiritual expression. My guest today is Kim Oberhoy. I think I've said that right. Kim holds the reins at Plants Forever, Inc., ensuring that her team stays current on innovation and trends. With a strong background in business and as an artist, she leverages her creativity to daily inspire staff members and clients alike. Prior to taking on Plants Forever, Kim worked at Ernst & Young, at Sprint, and at HealthNet, and she was a sales professional with them. In the entertainment industry, Kim has aided in Disney Studios' feature animation, Home on the Range, with Cuba Gooding Jr., Mel Tilly, and Roseanne Barr, the Academy Awards, as well as several theater and commercial projects. When not working, Kim loves spending time with her dog, Pink, or in the drive-thru at Krispy Kreme. Welcome, Kim. Glad to have you here today.
Thank you.
So in your bio, we say that your medium is working with plants. Can you just describe, you know, the what brought you to that medium and how that plays into your feeling about spaces?
Yeah, my mom actually started the company, we call it PFI now, and I was always around plant material. My father worked for Pike Family Nurseries, which is my family. Pete Pike is my uncle. So I was always around plant material. I was always either in around the nursery industry loosely, but I never really saw myself as a person who would ever work with plant material because my background really came from the entertainment industry. And then about 10 years ago, when I came back to Atlanta, I just really started partnering with my mom and her business. And as I began working with her, I really just caught a vision for the business. And then out of that, realized that what I was most passionate about was the design through horticulture. You know, there was this whole world that I had never even explored. I had been very involved in theater and film. And then all of a sudden, which I think is common to a lot of artists, you discover a whole other world where you can be creative. And those same skill sets just kind of roll over into that. And it's a whole new thing to learn, but not. It's also the same thing again. You know, it's repetitive that way. So I just found that with plants and interior spaces as well as exterior spaces, there's something really interesting about bringing nature inside, and nature is kind of part of God's, you know, general revelation to us. There's something really natural to be connected in that way in terms of spirituality, I think, because everybody knows a plant, they've seen it, they may not know it by name, but you see grass, you see trees, you know. So we just began working with really innovative ideas. We started experimenting with, you know, how these plants could go into the containers, what kind of containers we can use. Can we manipulate the plant material? Can we hang plant? I mean, just whatever it was, if we had every project seemed to, you know, bring on a new challenge. So,
well, and I know that you all have a new cool thing that I've just become aware of, and maybe you've been doing it for a while, but it's almost like plant sculptures on a wall. It's like a whole wall of living plants that you all go in and maintain for companies.
Yes, they're called breathe walls, or sometimes referred to, sometimes referred to as green walls. I like the term breathe wall because it is like a living wall, and there's a couple different ways that they can be designed. They can be really simple. You can go into a, you know, a building that's already built on the inside and put the wall, the green wall on the wall, or you can be part of the building actually being built where you work with an architect and the plants actually get put into the wall. So there are two different ways they're actually growing out of the wall fabric, if you will. And then those can be designed in many different ways. They can be, you know, you can have all kinds of different plants material, all different kinds of designs. At Holiday, we did one over at Lenox where we actually brought in some of their holiday decor into the center of one of these walls, which is really fun and festive. But people love them, and they're almost like little works of art because they can be very contained and they're very compact, or they can be huge. I mean, they could take up an entire wall on one whole building on the outside, you know. So there's lots of scope that you can work in.
Well, and I love love that idea of a breathe wall, because living plants do give us oxygen. I mean, they put oxygen into a space, but there's so many spiritual traditions that talk about the breath and the importance of breath and paying attention to your breath.
Yes, that's great. That's a great connection. I always think, when I think about plant material in general, I'm always reminded that one of the things that we're always talking about with our clients, is especially on the sustainability side, is that plant material, you know, it purifies the air. You know, it's just in the design of the DNA of nature to do that once it comes inside. And so there's lots of statistics to show how plant material can improve, you know, the living, not the living, but I say living experience or the work experience of someone when they have plant material in their space. And there's also a lot, which is kind of interesting, connecting theater and plant material, but there's also a lot to be said for the color green. You know, the color green in and of itself has an effect psychologically on people. That's why in theater, you go and stay in the green room until you're going to go on stage, because there's something calming about that, you know, as opposed to maybe the red room, which might make actors even more passionate, you know. So there's lots of opportunity to talk about the spiritual side of what we do. And when you, I just think it's neat that the design of nature in general is already built in to that, you know, and how it connects that way. So,
well, and I know just from a plant and nature standpoint too, the whole Fibonacci code is so ingrained in the way that curves happen in nature and the way that things repeat in nature. And so it's really fascinating that you've moved to this place of using live material as your art form.
Yeah, it's different than if you're, I mean, I guess if I look at the different areas I've worked, whether it be film or animation or theater or now this, there's something about working with plant material, the fact that it's living. It's not like, I mean, film is, you know, it's film. It's not a living, breathing organism. And so there's something just innate about that, that people are just very attracted to. And I think it's because it is something that they know is of God, whatever that may mean to them. There's just something that it's been here forever. You know, nature has been here since the beginning of time almost, you know, however you understand that. And so, I think it plays directly into that. And on many levels, I don't even know that people are conscious of that, but they know when they're not there,
right?
You know, so they know when the plant stops blooming, or when, you know, whatever it is in the life of the plant. And we also have to remind people, it's funny that they're not pieces of furniture, you know, especially when you're working in interior spaces. These are living organisms, and we do have to take care of them. And so just the fact that we've got to take care of them, and the nature of caring for something that's living in a space that's typically very businesslike,
right,
the contrast of that is, I think, why people really like to have their plant material in their space and why it is important. So,
Well, and a lot of art forms are very, like an artist creates it and it's done and people can view it, or it's for a certain period of time. But that is, you know, what you were talking about. This is a living piece of art. And so there's a continual process with this piece of art, that there's plants that, you know, that might get sick and that you replace, or there's always that maintenance part of that.
It is different. It where you start with a design is not always where you finish up. You know, if the living wall that just went in, say at Lenox, it's going to require constant tending to, and in 2 years it will probably look a little bit different. The design will have changed. The material has grown more. It's become larger. I mean, there's all these different variables, which makes it kind of interesting, because the goal is not necessarily, we always say if we have an account in 5 years, that account should look very different, because it is living, you know. And also as the opportunities arise for people to add different pieces of those things, whether it be additional plant material or color or architectural pieces, whatever it is, there's always room. There's that, you know, it's growing. The account itself is growing, like the plant material might be growing, you know. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. It's an interesting connection. So,
well, and it's fun to kind of, as opposed to trying to resist those changes, kind of embracing and knowing that that's going to happen, and being a little fascinated as, mm-hmm. as to where that's going to go.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. The wall at Lenox was the first one that really, I think probably even in the Atlanta market, that has gone up because they're so new. These walls are very, very new in terms of interior spaces. And when we first put it in, people were fascinated, and they still are. They go up. They want to touch the plant material. They're looking at it like it. They don't know what it is, you know, or what is this? How does this work? You know, there's a lot of curiosity that it's kind of piqued, which is fun to be able to kind of educate people on, you know, what it is and how it works and how it grows. So,
well, and in your bio, or just shifting a little bit, in your bio, you actually say that you're an artist, which I know there's a lot of artists that have a hard time saying that. And you mentioned a little earlier that you transitioned to this art from being an artist in some other mediums. At what point in your life did you start thinking of yourself as an artist?
I think I've always thought of myself as an artist. I mean, ever since I was a little girl, I've always been involved in some sort of creative endeavor, whether it was, you know, rearranging my room every other week, or it was pulling out a blank piece of paper and wanting to create something on it. And then that led into, I mean, I was always performing, and then obviously in the performing arts, which is a little bit different, but I was always around very creative people, especially when I used to dance professionally, whether it was professional dancers or choreographers or music people. You know, the whole world of the artistic world has very much been a part of my life for a long time. So I've really never known the idea of not being that. I think what's been new is to incorporate the idea of being a businesswoman and an artist. And I think what I've learned is that entrepreneurship is like another art form, because if art and commerce can't meet, you know, nobody, you're great in the bathroom shower, but people have to hear and see what you do, you know? So I think that was kind of cool to learn that my love of business was really like another art form, which you don't normally link those two together. But I always encourage artists. I'm passionate about artists knowing how to be good business people, because they're struggling to get their material out there. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that probably needs to be taught within the art study, you know, not over there as something separate. So,
well, and I love that you said that, because I think I believe that we're all artists, and we can approach anything in our work as an art. So I love that you're mm-hmm. Kind of reinforcing that people can take whatever they do and create art from that.
Yeah, I don't think, it's funny, I think a lot of times people think, oh, well, if you're creative, that's like a special thing. And I don't adhere to that. I think everyone's creative. Everyone has the DNA, because it is of God. How you develop it or how you use it, you know, I know I have some really brilliant financial people that I know that they don't perceive themselves as creative, but I'm like, did you just see what you did with those numbers? Like, that was amazing, you know? So it's a problem-solving skill, really, at the end of the day, and also knowing how to edit. I mean, I think those are the two key things that creative people do. They're problem-solving in how they want something to look or feel or whatever it is, and then they're also having to know how to edit and do that really well. So, yeah.
Well, and kind of playing off that idea of knowing how to edit, I'm sure that you get lots of different ideas. And so how do you edit and choose which ideas you're going to pursue?
It's the curse of any creative person. My mom is always like, your brain never shuts down. You know, I'm lying in bed at 4 a.m. and I wake up and have an idea. I think it is a little bit of the curse if you're really creative, and if you're creative in a lot of different areas.
A curse and a gift.
It's a curse and a gift. But I do think you have to have a place where you throw all those ideas down. I have several sketch pads that I take with me, and they're just for journaling or writing that idea down. But I have a notebook for every area that I may work in. And so with PFI, I have a blue book. With my other company, I have a pink book. With some, you know, they're all compartmentalized, because otherwise they would just be all over the place. And for me, I have to, if I know in a business, like with PFI, I know that we have a particular brand, which has been a whole other process of using creative gifts. But if you have the end in mind, that is really where I think you know how to edit. I always start with the end and work back. So if I know that this particular whatever it is that I'm working on has to look this way, then everything else that doesn't fit into that goes and gets edited out. That doesn't mean I throw it away, because I might want to use it somewhere else. So it goes in that pile. But you do have to know how to do that. And if you're working in a business, you have to know how to do it very quickly. So, and usually that happens because you're doing it a lot, you know, and that becomes very second nature to know how to move through that. But when there's new products, products, or there's a new idea or something we've never done before, and we're going to get out of our comfort zone. We know that it's going to take a little bit more time. You know, if we get into a project that's maybe extending us beyond the scope of our work, like at Coke, we were pitching to them a 35-foot Coca-Cola bottle tree that was built out of 2-foot plastic Coca-Cola bottles because they had a brand issue of sustainability had to be in the design. And so we really had to take on an existing frame that they had. We were going to have to pull in technology, lighting, sound. We even moved into technology with a scavenger hunt using QR codes. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, you know, and then finally you start editing back. But I think with the end in mind, and is it really going to serve the purpose it needs to serve, then you can start fleshing things out that aren't necessarily going to fall in that. So
once you choose the ideas you're going to go after, do you personally have a way that you kind of connect into that divine flow or that creative part of you to flesh out an idea? Is there some sort of a process that you do to do that?
Yeah, for me, I'm very visual. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, whether it's with my acting or if it's with PFI and I'm designing like a holiday set or whatever it is. I'm very, very visual. So I have notebooks of tons and tons of tear sheets of things I can pull from anywhere. It might be from the library and I scan it from some 18th century, whatever, you know, whatever it is that's going to fall in that. So I start very visually and I build a visual board for myself. And then usually from there, once we start sort of the engineering side, if you will, of how are we going to build this or, you know, how is this actually going to work, I bring in two of my staff because that's what they do. They can bring in a really practical perspective. And then we step back from that and I go back into the creative again to say, well, here are my limitations. That really great idea I had is not going to work practically, you know. And then I go back again. And sometimes for me, I find focus is a big part of it. You know, I have to shut everything out and really focus on something I'm trying to get to where I want it to be. And that's really, I know that's kind of vague, but you typically, for me, I have an idea in my mind and it's very visual and I just keep pressing toward that in terms of, I think for me, it's also emotional. Like when it feels right, I know that it's right. It's striking the chord that I want it to strike. And that can take some time, you know? So, yeah, I know that sounds all very vague. I'm not giving you anything really,
well,
you know, but
I think
creative is it's kind of like that, you know, unfortunately.
That is a little bit vague. I think the creative process for a lot of people is so personal that it's hard to articulate that.
Right.
But that feeling of when it feels right, I think, is very important. And do you find that when it feels right for you, that it's easy for you to articulate that to the other people, to your clients, or to the other people in your company?
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think that once you arrive at what you want it to be, it's really clear, and then things typically move pretty quickly after that. I mean, I know even when I just got married 2.5 years ago, but I planned my wedding for a year, you know, and it was a whole weekend experience, and it was very much a creative process of what I went through. And I did two full boards of two totally different weddings before I ever decided which one I wanted. And when I finally saw this one, I knew that's not big enough and grand enough for what I want to be getting married at 42. I mean, we got to knock this thing out of the ballpark. My first marriage, hopefully my only marriage. And then when I saw this other one, I knew this resonated really authentically with more of with who I was and my fiance. And so I know that's a little bit of a different situation, but something as personal as that, you can see that. And I think also what's different when you're designing, like a wedding, you're designing for yourself, but when you're designing for other people, you're a designer. When you're designing for yourself, you're an artist. And those are two very different ways of working. I think for me, if I'm hired by somebody, I don't get to have the luxury to do what I want to do. I have to serve the client. And so sometimes I have to put those things that I may think are great and fabulous and wonderful aside because it's really not going to serve their project. If I was in charge of the project, I might do it a little bit differently. So there's always that, you know, when you're doing something personally for yourself, you can kind of do what you want to do. But when you're being hired, there are so many other variables that you have to work within that and serve that project. So,
well, and you were talking about when you do, you know, all of your visualizations and your ideas and put them on paper, and sometimes you have to back up because they don't fit within the parameters of the project. You know, I find that sometimes the limitations actually
help
make
you.
Me be more creative.
Yeah, that's we have that a lot that happens with, even with the green walls, we've had some of that where whether it be the space that the wall is located in, or there's many different things, but the limitations can help you to edit, and then you have to problem solve out of that in a whole other way that you never thought you were going to have to do. So that can be kind of fun. And it also helps your skill. I mean, it helps your skill as an artist to have to do those. You know, you don't become too relaxed in doing what you know that just seems easy and that'll work and that'll be great and wonderful, you know.
So. Because that would just be boring to
that's
do
right. It would.
So I'm curious how your art has affected your spiritual evolution, or how your spiritual evolution has affected your art. Obviously, your art has changed over the years.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that I see more. I practice my spirituality as a Christian. So for me, that means, you know, I go to church, I'm in Bible study, I read my Bible, I pray, I might fast. But I think that what I've seen is there's a lot of God revealed. I love it when I go to maybe an art show or I see something that is completely out of the realm of anything that I do, but somebody created something that I could never do. You know, it's just completely out of the realm of where I work. But what I find is that I constantly find that when I see things, they are always reflective of, often they are reflective of the human experience. And so I think that's a universal theme, no matter where you come from in your faith, that is really interesting to me, especially when I see film. Like I just watched Babel last night, which, you know, is a term from the Bible, but the story had five different stories going on and nobody was listening. Everybody was talking, but nobody understood each other, which is a universal theme, you know, right, especially today. And so I think it's drawn me closer to God. I think that my view of God is still within the framework of, you know, understanding Christ and understanding how he walked, how does he perceive things, but also understanding that it's really interesting to me when I meet artists who maybe don't claim a particular faith. They're just spiritual in a very generic sense. They intuitively know that their work comes from somewhere else. They don't know where maybe, but they know that it comes from somewhere else. I remember hearing Sting on an interview who he was, you know, he's highly intellectual. At the time, he had not become a Buddhist. He was not practicing Buddhism. But he knew that these songs and these lyrics, he goes, I don't really know where they come from. They just come from somewhere. And so I think you almost, as an artist or in the creative process, you're almost forced to address the spiritual side of things. I mean, there's just something about the experience of creating that puts you up against that, you know, because it's usually something that, you know, it's like I think about scriptures as in the beginning God created. It's that bringing something into existence that didn't exist. And that process, going from nothing to something, you realize it's bigger than you, you know? And so I think that every time I'm creating, I'm also humbled at the same time to realize, wow, I can't believe we just did that, or I just did that, or that really got done, you know? So there's something humbling about it. And I think that that's good, constantly going back to God and say, I would like for you to help me in this process. Especially you ask me when you have problems or you're coming up against something that you can't solve, which does happen, you know, seeking for wisdom in that is really important. So,
and it sounds like the work that you do, that there's a part of it that you do by yourself, and then there's a part of it that you do in collaboration with other craftspeople and other people, other artists, other people, and that help you bring your visions to life. How is that different when you're by yourself in that creative process versus when you're working with others in that creative process?
Yeah, I think before you get with a team of people, you have to be very clear about what it is that you pretty much have to have already done the majority of the work in terms of big picture. I think when I go and approach, especially if it's a really large thing, like something we were doing at Coke, there were so many other people we were having to depend upon in terms of information or how were we going to do this, that the communication is really important. When you're working by yourself, you know yourself really well, so you don't have to work so hard at that. You're just sort of in your whole, you know, processing, figuring out we want this to go here, whatever it is, the color scheme and all of that really creative side. And I think what happens when you meet with a team, for me anyway, is a lot of that has already been defined. The skeleton has been defined, but you need to be really clear about that. I've learned in some really hard ways, even with just like going through the process of building a website for my company, we're in the middle of, I'm actually going there after here, that I've learned that I don't need to be collaborative. Like, that's somebody who needs really clear direction of here's exactly what I want, here's exactly what I don't want. Knowing what you don't right. want is just as important. And so you think you're clear sometimes, and then sometimes you have to, because you sit with it all the time, you have to really make sure when you go to communicate it to someone else that you're almost making it, not because people aren't intelligent, but I know when people communicate things to me, it has to be idiot proof.
Like, well, and sometimes it just doesn't get out of your head.
Yeah,
you know what you're
right.
talking about.
Yeah, really simple. So, and I have to keep that in mind, you know, but our work cannot be done. Our work is done in a team environment. I mean, because we're building so many things and creating so many things, we have to work as a team. I mean, almost everything in our business is built on a team collaboration model, from the communication to the paperwork, everything, because I may design it, but then it's got to be handed off to the person to build, and then the person's got to install it, then a person's got to take care of it, and then somebody's got to bill it, and on and on and on. So the business and how the business is designed in and of itself is a design, you know? So
right.
it starts from not just the product, but also how the business is modeled too. So that design factor goes all the way through. So
how can our listeners find out more about you and find out more about PFI?
Yeah, we recently are building our website right now. You can reach us at PFI Brand It Grow It. You can just Google that and it will come up, PFIBrandItGrowIt.com. And you can also give us a ring at 770-982-3070.
So I'm wondering if there's any last thing that you'd like to share about this process of art and your spirituality and how they connect together.
I would just say that I think everyone should explore their creative side, because I think it will draw you closer to God, and that's always worth that process.
Well, Kim, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being with us today. It's really been an interesting show. Please tell our listeners one more time how they can find out more about you and the art that you do.
Yeah, sure. PFIBrandItGrowIt.com, and you can contact us 770-982-3070.
Great. Thank you. And thank you to our listeners. I welcome your suggestions and your comments on this or any of our shows. You can find links to all of our shows on Empower Radio and on our website, artasworship.net. Please come share your stories of art as worship on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/artistworship, or suggest an artist that we should interview. Listen in next week as we talk to another artist about their creative process and how it connects with their spiritual journey. May you have an inspired and creative week. Namaste.